I've heard a few people in my time, when you're trying to explain, you know, who God is and who Jesus is and what he did and, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, just trying to witness to them, get them to understand and to come under the, get under the cross, so to speak, and trust and believe in Christ. And the one of the typical answers I get is, well, I must be a Christian. I mean, I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a this or that. You know. But the other question, and I find it really annoying. Now, you can understand that you're not, your religion says you're not this, you are that. But when someone says to you, "Where is God? Where is God when you need him?" Now, that kind of rubs me the wrong way. You know, they figure, well, you know, you can believe in God, you can believe even in what Jesus did at Calvary, but, you know, you got to live your own life. In other words, the question come up, can you be a moderate Christian? Can you be a moderate Christian? Ooh. Let's have a quick prayer and then we'll find out. Lord God, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to deliver this sermon. I pray, Lord, that you give me utterance. And Lord, those that listen to it, Lord, will listen wholeheartedly. And when all is said and done, Lord God, that another child will become a child of the King, Lord. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you be a moderate Christian? You've heard it said many times, over and over and over again. Well, like I said, sure. I believe in God. I think most people believe in God. But where is he when you need him? That's what I'd like to know. Where is he? Where is he when the going gets rough? I mean, if you could place a phone call to him, it'd be different. I'm tired of being told, trust in the Lord, give it to God. Where's God when everybody's running amok on the streets and in the night places? Yesterday, a neighbor of mine was shot to death, while walking to work, of all things. Where was God then? Where is God? Where is God? If there really is a God, I'd like to know where he is. Where is he hiding? Come out. That's a hard conversation, not only to listen to, but to say something like that. I said to the person, I said, well, I know where you're coming from. I know your feelings. I've been there. Do you? Do you really? I've been in many places where it seemed that God would never go. I don't understand him. Why does he allow all this pain and suffering? I don't understand him. Well, I said, I can tell you this. Our God is a just God. God is also a holy God. Our God is a loving God. And if you think for one minute that he's behind all the pain and suffering in this world today, then you don't know the same God that I do. When you see a town or a city going through many of the great hardships they have, don't be too quick to blame it on God. Yes, God does allow pain and suffering. But because we fail to place ourselves in the hollow of his hand, and he will not give us comfort that we need to endure if we don't believe and trust in him. In fact, if we don't listen to his word and obey his ways, Well, God will simply give us over to a reprobate mind. We can't live with the devil and expect God to protect and watch over us during difficult times. I mean, people go out to a nightclub and they come home and they're plaster drunk. And they lay in their bed and they moan and groan because they got a hangover. Oh, God. Oh, God, where are you when I need you? Come on, will you? Jesus said, come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That means you have to come to him. You have to give yourself over to him. You have to repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus meant. In Matthew 11:29, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Have you got that? Come on to me. Take my yoke and learn of me. Have you taken Jesus' yoke? He said you'll find rest for your souls. Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Tell me something. Have you come to Jesus yet? Or do you just think you have? Or you have not at all? You just can't be bothered. Do you pray daily? And do you support his ministry in your local church? Do you witness to others about his greatness and what he did upon the cross? Do you pray without ceasing and lift up others before God? Do you? If you don't, you're not one of his. You only think you are. And don't tell me that you ask them into your heart 100 times. But he never does come in. James, in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 3, we read, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. That's what he said. You ask for a new car, you ask for more money, a bigger house, and so forth and so on. Tell me, have you asked him to save your soul? Have you asked him to come into your heart that you might live for him? Have you? You tell me that you pray, but your prayers go unanswered. I tell you, I have heard some of these prayers. They're so quick and short and meaningless. They don't even make it to the throne of grace. They're not sincere. If you are truly his, if you truly trust and believe in him, you must, and this is a must, you must conform to his ways, not the world's ways. Not only in walking circumspectly, but taking the walk also so that others may know and see Christ in you and want to seek him out. You know, our God is a jealous God, and only what's done for him will last. Many of today's churches are filled with would-be Christians, but only a few are consecrated, only a few repented and believed in the gospel. Not everyone who says thank God really means it. It's simply a part of their everyday vernacular. There's a great void in our lives, And that void was put there by a holy and righteous God. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. The only thing that can fill that void is your faith. Your faith in God. And what happened at Calvary. Only when your faith in God, only when you've scraped that old paint off, can you apply the new paint, the blood. Come under the blood, under the blood. It's not done by through a 10-second prayer and a speedy amen. No, it's a giving of thyself over to Him. He wants you to trust and believe and be a part of His ministry. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast." Tell me, if you jump off a cliff with the intent to commit suicide, and halfway down you change your mind. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Well, you know what's going to happen to you, don't you? You're going to become crow's meat. Crow's meat. You can work your fingers to the proverbial bone, hoping God will take you into His kingdom. And while God may like the gesture, it will never, never open heaven's doors. Gestures don't save you. Faith saves you. Faith in what was done at Calvary. Listen to what the Word of God says in the book of James. James 2:17-18. "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." You can't just say, "I believe," and then just sit back on your laurels. You've got to live for Christ. Be a part of His family. Know in your heart that you believe. Then raise your hands up to Him. Call His name. He'll hear you. He'll listen. Yea, a man may say, "Thou hast faith, and I have works." Well, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. By my works. Simply said, if you have faith in what Jesus did at Calvary, then you have faith in His works. For us to say we believe and are saved, the Word of God clearly states, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." You know, it's not hard to pick out a Christian in today's world. If you get close enough to them, listen to them, observe them, you will know them by their works. For us to say we believe and are saved, the Word of God clearly states, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." By their fruits. For as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. That's not something you want to hear, but it's the truth. Let it be known, the reference here is the works you do through faith in Jesus Christ. Works alone will not do it. You have to do the works that God wants you to do. Give Him the glory, not you. Give Him the glory. He rightfully deserves it. How often have you asked someone the basic question? Are you saved? That's the basic question. Are you saved? If they're not, then the first response is usually, saved from what? If you get that response, then you know you've got your work cut out for you. Oh, yeah. On the other hand, you may hear, saved. If you mean, am I a Christian? Yes. And then you may say, well, so, if you were to die tomorrow, you'd know for sure you'd go to heaven, right? And then you get that famous one line coming back at you. Well, God wouldn't send anybody to hell. Want to bet? Want to bet? Actually, God is not willing that any should perish. He doesn't send you to hell. You send yourself to hell by not acknowledging Him as your Savior, giving your life over to Him, believing in Him. That's how you go to hell. Tell me something. Should a Christian drink alcohol? Should a Christian go to the movies? Should a Christian go to a ball game? How's that? Should a Christian stand on a street corner and watch a gay pride parade? Should a Christian go to a dance hall or watch a TV show that takes the Lord's name in vain? If I'm watching a show or a movie on TV, as soon as they take the Lord's name in vain, it's gone. It's gone. On and on and on. Should you? Would you? You'd be under conviction. If you're truly saved, you'd be under conviction. You know you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't listen to that. You shouldn't partake in that. Do you know how many people participate in one or more of these things I just mentioned and still call themselves a Christian? Do you? Who actually believe there's nothing sinful as long as you do it only in moderation? We're talking about the moderate Christian, aren't we? Everything in moderation, right? No. Whatever happened to, if you love me, keep my commandments? Cheaters. Liars. God didn't say it's okay to lie, it's okay to cheat, it's okay to steal and kill as long as you do it in moderation, did He? A little white lie is still a lie. A fellow told me he had a new pastor at his church. I said, well, what kind of pastor is he? The response was, well, hey, you know, a regular, moderate pastor. I ran from a dictionary. Moderate, 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 moderate. Having reasonable limits. Avoiding extremes. One who holds moderate views. In other words, not dogmatic. In other words, not to be taken literally. If I tell you now, God will spew you out of His mouth. They make them sick. They lead more people to hell than any lukewarm Christian. God will spew them out of His mouth. He will. Everything in moderation. What a cop-out that is. Did Christ die in moderation? Was He crucified in moderation? Or heaven and hell in moderation? Pray tell, how does one believe in the gospel in moderation? Moderation, moderation. You know, I think I might just throw up. I go to a moderate church, they say. Do you know what a moderate church is? No. Well, let me tell you, a moderate church is a church where they do everything in moderation. Makes sense? Oh, they believe in the gospel in moderation. They believe in good works in moderation. They believe in holy baptism in moderation. They believe in heaven and hell in moderation. Ever see a moderate alcoholic or a moderate child molester or a moderate killer? Huh? Have you? Ooh, have you? The word moderation is seen only once in the scriptures. Philippians 4, verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The word moderation is found only once in the King James Bible, but it's often misinterpreted as a type of self-control. Webster defines moderation as to lessen the intensity or extremeness. So, if you live a wild and crazy life, which is considered as extreme, and you gave your life over to the Lord, you repented, and became a Christian, then your wild living should alleviate, moderate, lessen in intensely, become more acceptable to God, which is a type of self-control given through the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that when you get saved that everything just suddenly disappears. All the ways and traits that you have every day and habits, they just suddenly go away. No. But when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you, comes and lives inside you. And when you do what the things that you shouldn't do that are offensive to Christ, to being a Christian, you will know, you will be bothered by that. You will understand this is not pleasing to God. That's how it works. Without the indwelling Holy Spirit, you don't know right from wrong. You only think you do. You only challenge it as you see fit. Well, I think I'll go to the dance tonight, but I won't have a drink. Oh, I hear that's a pretty good movie. There's a lot of cursing and swearing in it. Oh, well, I'll just close my ears and my eyes when they get to those parts. Give me a break, will you? This is what Philippians 4, verse 5 means. You're no longer a wild and crazy guy. Instead, you now have more self-control, thanks to the indwelling Holy Spirit. So, when your friends see you, or see the new you, showing more self-control, whereas once you were a raving lunatic, this is the work of the indwelling Holy Spirit. So you're a new man, born again unto God. Born again. Verse 5 says, to let your moderation, or the new you, be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Don't try and keep it a secret. Because if you're truly, truly indwelt by the Spirit, it won't be a secret very long. Don't say, well, I'm going to get saved, but I'm just not going to go and blab it all over the place and let everybody see me acting like a lunatic, you know, praying outside and, you know, walking around my head in the clouds and talking to God, that sort of thing. Well, if you don't want to do those sorts of things, then you're just an embarrassment to God. You're not truly saved at all. You only think you are. So, when your friends see you showing more self-control, where at one time you were a raving idiot, it's the work of the indwelling Holy Spirit. You're a new man, a new girl, a new woman, born again unto God. verse 5 says, let your moderation, or the new you, be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. However, when one speaks of a moderate pastor or a moderate church, it's a whole new ball game. You understand? While you can be moderate in your excesses in life, you cannot be moderate as a Christian. There is your challenge. There's no such animal as a moderate Christian. You either belong to Christ or you don't. There's no middle ground. I hope this message has been clear to you today. If you have any questions, well, give me a call. Contact me at my website, tillycomes.net, Battlesite for Christ. I'll be glad to hear from you. And if I have to argue with you, I'll argue with you. But remember, I'm on the Lord's side. I pray you are too. I pray this message has found lodging in your heart, just like it has in mine. Thank you for listening. May God bless. In Jesus' name, amen.